Welcome to the Lord's Day on June 7th, 2020. The worship begins by a call to worship from Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I'll put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we need you, the Prince of Peace, upon this country, in our confused state. You are the only one who can bring the real justice, a real peace in our church, in our community, in our people. Oh, Father God, as you approach to your word, open our hearts and be receptive to the guidance from your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we conclude the series on the Adam's offspring, we meet Caleb and the faithful instance of Israel from the book of Numbers. The nation was at the crossroad to decide whether they would actually execute the conquering plan and risk their everything. You don't risk over a wishful thinking. You must want it so bad. You allow the promise to take control over your life's direction. Only when your desire of the promise tops over the cares for what you certainly or may lose. While the message lay out the faithful messenger Caleb, you may want to use it to shed the light on the crossroads from your past to know why you did what you did and with the outcomes, or maybe the current one that you have been wrestling on the options. 3 points: fact matters, interpretation reveals, action follows. Now let me read the text first. Numbers 13 and verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders, 25. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us. It does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit, 28. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possessions of the land, for we can certainly do it." 31. But the man who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are." Chapter 14, verse 2. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as a plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly who were among those who had explored the land, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey. We'll give it to us, only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up." Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of the meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the miraculous signs I have performed among them?" This is the word of God. Point one. Before you form any opinion or choose options, please make the habit of exercising the discipline, establishing the dry and honest facts. Say you heard the news, a glass is broken. What question does it come to you now? Which glass? Car? Store? House? Eyeglasses? How did it happen? Why did it happen? Who's done it? Whose glass is it? When did it happen? Where did it happen? By the way, anyone hurt? What first question did you ask? It may reveal the way you process the information and probably, maybe, your preference and priority. Let us establish the facts before the clash of different interpretations of the report from today's text. Fact number one. God asked Moses to send 12 spies from leaders of each tribe. Fact or not? Fact number two. The 12 returned from exploring the land at Kadesh in the desert of Paran, gave account of the land before Moses and Aaron to the whole assembly. Fact or not? Fact. Fact number three. They gave this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. Fact or not? It is the fact. And number four, final fact challenge from the spies' account of a report in verse 28. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near sea and along the Jordan. Fact or not? Fact or not? All spies agreed that inhabitants were powerful, no denying it. It looks like a fact, it is not. However, when they inserted the "but" at the heading as their leading word, they have tilted the plane of a report into the already formed conclusion of theirs. They presented their opinion under the disguise of a fact-finding mission report. So we need to make a habit of what is the fact? What's the basis of this fact? Number two, facing the decision in life, big and small, as an individual or as a group, our decision is based on the kind of understanding of the facts. Let us compare two opposing suggestions between the Calebs and the rest. Let us examine what makes a difference of proposal over their next step of action. Verse 30. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." Then he presented the basis of his proposal from verses 7, chapter 14 and followings, and said to the entire Israelites assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey. He will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, and because we will swallow them up. The protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not afraid of them." Let me ask you this question. Was Caleb not afraid of military might of inhabitants and their fortified cities in the land of Canaan? Of course, he did. But he feared far more for God, who had taken them out from the superpower of Egyptians and protected them from the unlivable condition of wilderness for 2 years, provided them with food and water, showing his awesome presence in clouds and fire over the tabernacle. His foremost concern, Caleb's, is not the size of military might, but whether God is pleased, this God is pleased with them or not. How much you weigh God in your critical moment? How real is God in his word to you? The counter proposal by the other spies, verse 31, but the man who had gone out with him said, we can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are. Unlike Caleb's, their assessment had not put God into their calculations. Amazing experience, Passover and the Red Sea over and achieving the salvation, and God's past dealings with them across the wilderness for 2 years until this very moment simply evaporated. It did not count as a real reality to reckon, to weigh their future course of action. How about yours? Does your past signs that God has saved you come alive as facts as you weigh your current options? Has not God provided you even this moment? Do you reckon that record of a provision as a fact? Does it change the gauge in weighing the pros and cons? Does the word of God matter to you enough to form the opinion and give you courage and confidence? Do you sleep sound and peacefully after decision? Or anxious and restless, keep looking for excuses not to make the decision or blame others? Do you fear God or man? Number 3, action follows conviction. I don't think the other spies were punished by God because of their conviction. If so, what's the point of having an assembly before God and these people and leaders? We should be able to share our fears and hopes and honesty without negative reprisals. Besides, isn't it God who invites us, his subjects, insists on honest dialogues? Because Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Let us reason together. Though your sins are like a scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. What is it then so upsetting to God in the end, banishing the entire generation of people except Caleb and Joshua? There's a 7 phenomena, signs, course of actions. First, verse 32, they spread among the Israelites a bad report, a rumor about the land they had explored. Course of action, number 1, is the change. They changed the venue from God to the man as a source of their power. They chose not to engage the proper channel of dialogue with God and amongst the whole the congregation. And instead of using that time, a time of deep soul searching as an individual community, pondering which option is the most consistent with God of covenant and his past record and future prospect. Number 2, course of action number 2 is they become lie generator. They become lying machine. They said, the land we explore devours those living in it. It was not the land flowing with milk and honey anymore. Just in their previous report, in their attempt to get rid of the motivation for the entire assembly for entering the promised land, they lied. exaggeration of the fact, another form of lie. All the people we saw there are of great size. All the people, that's an exaggeration. And also insinuating subtle connection. We saw the Nephilim. There, the descendants of Anak come from Nephilim. And the addition, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Their subjective opinions and juxtaposing their guesswork, we looked like the same to him, same to them. Rumors sucked the air out of good news, killed it practically. God punished them not because of their holding different opinions, but because of their reckless lies, irresponsible lies against the ninth commandment from the tenth commandment. You do not give false witnesses, testimony against your neighbor. Course of action number three is the crowd feed off from each other's lies. Fake news now dominates people's attention. Now the ball is out of their hands, a tipping point over to the entire community. Verse chapter 14, verse 1 says, that night all the people of the community raised their voices and wept out loud. If someone asks them, why do you cry? Do you think they provide that God is the reason? What's their ground? What's their source? Number four, course of action number four is the blame shifting. Complaint against those who represent God. Chapter 14, verse 2. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The people who are representing to God and God's word, there's a distance, there's a mistrust, it's developing. Course of action number 5, endless self-talk, downward spiral of self-pity, self-doomed conjecture of what-ifs, continuous inquiry of whys. The whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as a plunder, all conjectures. Course of action number 6 is to fall back to former ways. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? The occasion actually brings the surface, the state of their true heart. They don't want to be citizens of God's kingdom. They just want to believe like Egyptians, even at the promised land of God. Course of action number 7 is to set up a system of scapegoat. It worked both ways. First, they are motivated by the hatred and kill the person in their heart and actions. Chapter 14, verse 10. But the whole assembly talked about stoning Caleb and Joshua. Second, instead of following the leader recognized and confirmed by God's word and providence, they chose a leader that would conveniently help their effort to run away from God to the world. We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. What if it did not work? What do you think would they do? They would just remove their leader and replace with another one. And replace with another one. Ever hoping that the next one would be the better one, the true savior. Only to be disappointed and always searching for a leader who did the miracles and wonders in their lives. And no personal cost for them. They don't change. They just remain as it is. They just want to change their leaders. Let us compare it with those of Moses and Caleb. First course of action is by humility. Moses did not say anything in defense of himself, nor engage in the verbal argument. They prostrate before God and people. Chapter 14, verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelites assembly gathered there. Course of action by heart broken for them. 14:6, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh tore their clothes. It is to add the genuineness to their plea to be faithful to God and not to rebel against God. At the same time, by tearing their clothes, they don't put themselves at the judgment seat. They put themselves in the same seat with them. Compassion, sympathize with them. 3, course of action by mediating for the very people who reject and try to harm them. Moses said to the Lord, 14:19, in accordance with your great love, forgive the sin of these people, just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now. My question is this, which course of actions are you familiar with? Please leave the course of actions by lies and follow the course of action by Caleb and Moses and be faithful to God's word and works of promise and remain in the loving kindness of God by exercising mercy because we have received the mercy. James chapter 2 verse 12 and 13 says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us to choose the way of mercy and not to follow the way of lies. Oh, Father God, it is not possible for us, by us. There's nothing in us to make us to go through the direction that you have desired. Our hearts are tilted for the sin, toward the sin. Oh, Father God, put your gravity of a cross upon our heart. Let our hearts be drawn into the love of mercy that we may exercise the discernment and be merciful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.